couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are coming to you from the Magical Studio in the sky.
As we always do.
And we've got an exciting week for you. We've got tons of movies to talk about.
Arguably the biggest movie of the year.
Right, and another Oscar contender. Also, did you hear about the Morgans, the Oscar contender?
But we're also I thought that was both. That's the biggest movie of the year. The Oscar contender.
But we're going to talk about that.
How many Golden Globes did Sarah Jessica Parker get nominated for?
I don't know. But we have Did You Hear About the Morgans, Up in the Air, and then James Cameron's Avatar.
Avatar.
So that'll be fun. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on all of these movies.
Really?
Well,
you're never interested to hear my thoughts.
Most of them. But anyway, we'll get to that here in a second. First, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can,
which is back up and running.
Which is, magically back up and running after some earlier this week had some technical difficulties, I guess. I don't know.
Something.
Ultimately, I diagnosed the problem as FUBAR.
Ah, yes.
Would be the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. But
They use the term FUBAR in The Men Who Stare at Goats, which I just saw. I just watched that. Did you like that movie?
It was okay.
I'm totally random on you today. But I enjoyed it.
It was all right.
I thought it was cool.
It was kind of funny. Where was I? Oh, you can get us on iTunes. The iTunes store always seems to work. And you can subscribe to us. Just search Fat Guys the Movies and download us and whatnot. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail at area code 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Twitter, twitter.com/rejects. We'll direct you to my stream of consciousness. And twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
That sounded so dirty. Ours.
We'll get you into the mind and live tweets of Kevin Carr.
We will be live tweeting, because this is going live. I mean, you might be listening to this after Friday, but when this goes live on Friday, we're going to be live tweeting Black Christmas on Friday.
Oh, my.
The original, not the good one. You know,
the OG Black Christmas.
Which is available on Instant Netflix. And later on, we're also going to be doing A Christmas Story, which also is available on Instant Netflix.
Interesting. So,
join in the fun. Follow us.
Or not.
Or not.
Anyway, I'm not going to be live tweeting anything. I try and keep my Twitter feed kind of clean.
That's not true.
No, everything I mean clean of Twitter, like junk. Like
it goes up on Facebook. You get it like every. You get like 5 posts. If you're a friend of you on like Facebook or Twitter, you get like 18 posts for everything you put up.
Fair enough.
That's what happens.
But I don't live tweet a lot of stuff because it's just like it's too many tweets and I get a lot of people unfollowing me.
Really?
That's not fun.
I get people following me for the live tweets. It's bizarre. Brittany and K-Fed love me.
Well, yeah. The Brittany sex video is really, really about Kevin Carr.
That's right.
Anyway, let's get to this first movie because I think we need some time to talk about it. It's kind of a big deal.
Yes. Harumph, harumph.
It is Up in the Air, in which George Clooney plays a corporate consultant who fires people and spends a lot of time on planes.
Welcome back, Mr. Bingham.
I am a passenger.
I work for a company that lends me out to cowards that don't have the courage to sack their own employees, and for good reason.
Who are you, man?
Because people do crazy stuff when they get fired. I'm gonna need your key card.
We received a dynamite young woman from Cornell, Natalie Keener. I want you to show her the ropes.
I'm not a tour guide.
This is the boat, this is you. You wanna be in the boat?
Yeah, alone.
Show her the magic, take her through the paces.
Now, interestingly enough, I'm actually reading this book now.
Oh, okay.
Having seen the movie, and it's a very different story in the book than in the movie, which is why I totally am now backing Jason Reitman for Best Adapted Screenplay for this movie.
Because he improved it?
Because he significantly improved. I mean, the character is the same.
It's not like a story about teenage vampires and love.
No. I mean, it's not completely different, but there are a lot of elements to the movie that were not really in the book, most of which revolve around the character played by Anna Kendrick. Who's
the best thing in the movie?
Who is great in the movie. Also, George Clooney, great in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really seems to fit in my opinion, with Jason Reitman's other films. But it's more like Thank You for Smoking.
It's way more like Thank You for Smoking. Well, because it's about a guy who does something somewhat nefarious, but is very happy doing it. Mm-hmm. But then has his sort of worldview challenged.
Right.
It's sort of the same. It's the same arc. It's the same mm-hmm. discovery that the character goes through. It just is in a different. Yeah. In a different situation.
And I think thanks to the performances at the heart of it from Clooney and Anna Kendrick and Vera Farmiga, that it accomplishes a very similar level of mm-hmm. quality because yeah. it's really in the performances. I think Thank You for Smoking, simple premise and all, wouldn't have been the same movie without J.K. Simmons and Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
So, but I really liked it. It's yeah. a very, very good movie. It's got a weird... scene with Young MC in it. It's a little odd, but otherwise,
Scene was that?
The party scene? Yeah, this is kind of interesting to see Young MC in the movie.
Well, I mean, but it didn't seem out of place.
No, it wasn't out of place. It's kind of funny to yeah. me. But you know, the script is tight, the performances are good, mm-hmm. the story is interesting and engaging enough, and it's funny. I mean, that's. I laughed.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. I really did enjoy it, but it's one of those that I almost caution people to. It's sort of like Paranormal Activity, where if you went in a little cold, it was better than with all the hype because you're hearing all this hype about the movie, and I think it's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Not best of the year. I wouldn't put it. It's not in my top 10 list, but it's one that I think. People might be disappointed if they mm-hmm. hear all this just incredibly awesome stuff about it, and then they go in and they go, oh, "It's a cute movie," and that's my only sort of caution to it.
Right.
My pull quote. I'm going to put this on Rotten Tomatoes. Is it is quite possibly the sweetest movie you're ever going to see about corporate layoffs.
Yeah, and you know what else I thought it accomplishes? It to me is the most honest movie about our economic situation that has yeah. been made. You know, like Michael Moore tried. But there's always the stigma around more.
He has such an agenda. That's the thing. He has an agenda.
But this movie really just kind of shows what's happening across our country, in our economy, from a mm-hmm. very human level. And that was really striking to me. I mean, aside from this, like, there's like a love story and a story about a man changing his worldview. And but there's really this kind of secondary story about... the economic times, which but also wasn't really in the book because the book was written.
It's not a finger pointer. That's the thing. And that's right. what makes it's it different.
It's just about the reality of the situation.
Yeah. You know? And it's just more or less, this is what's happening. And for whatever reason it's happening, these are the people that it's happening to. This is the thing. I've been laid off before. I've been laid off on the small scale and on the big scale. So mm-hmm. I identified with that. I've also spent. I used to travel a lot over the holidays to helping a friend out with stuff. So I know what it's like to go from hotel room to hotel room to hotel room. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot. I identified a lot with that. I mean, I wasn't traveling 330 days out of the year, but
right.
you know, I know what it's like to wake up in a different hotel room every night, and it's not fun. But his character enjoys that. But I think it promotes him more as an escapist, and he gets that challenge. And that's why I think it was cool. But I will say, just real quickly here, Anna Kendrick I thought was fantastic in it because most people recognize her from Twilight, and mm-hmm. she does some great stuff with what she's given there, but she's not given much. And mm-hmm. here she really gets a chance to shine, and she does a fantastic job.
I agree.
Yeah. So I say totally rocks.
I say totally rocks as well. Onward to the next segment. And we have returned.
Thank the Lord.
To Fat Guys at the Movies. What do we... Oh, we got two more movies to talk about.
Yeah.
The first one is obviously the bigger of the two.
Yeah, it's
you
huge.
You know, this joke's really kind of getting, like, played out. Every time we have a big movie, we're like, this little film. And, but in reality, Did You Hear About the Morgans is a huge film.
Okay.
Huge film.
Sure. Cause...
In which Hugh Grant and Sarah Jessica Parker are fish out of water in Wyoming, acting quite dumb.
Did you hear about the Morgans? This guy is still out there. I recommend you both enter the witness relocation program.
What? What? I can't commit to spending the rest of my life with my husband. Can you tell us where we're going?
Ray, Wyoming.
Wyoming?
You'll be under the care of the sheriff in town.
Welcome to Wyoming.
It'll be an honor to protect you. I hope you'll be real comfortable here with us.
If I can make one quick call.
Trying to contact somebody back home's too big a risk.
What if we never get out of here?
I'm going to let you take first crack, because you have a lot of venom for this movie, don't you?
Well, it's not really venom. It's just I'm just tired of this culture clash comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the early 90s is where this movie belongs, in which you have rich New York couple struggling with their relationship. They witness a kooky murder and then get flown to Wyoming, where Sam Elliott's mustache and Mary Steenburgen babysit them, you know, and then of course something's gonna go wrong, and but they're gonna find their relationship again.
Didn't this once star Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley, and they went to Amish country?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Tim Allen has made several movies like this.
Yes.
Except that he's no Hugh Grant. And you know what? To me, Hugh Grant is the only thing worth liking in this whole movie.
Here's the thing. Hugh Grant...
He's very funny.
He's very charming. He's like... Mm-hmm. It's like... It was like when he got busted for, you know, getting a tryst with that hooker. Mm-hmm. And you're still like... You're like, oh, but he's Hugh Grant. He's just so charming. Right. He could exactly. do the weirdest, craziest stuff. He could be like... He could have... A mixture rap sheet of sexual trysts that rivals mm-hmm. Tiger Woods and anybody else that you want to throw mm-hmm. in there. And you'd be like, oh, but it's just Hugh Grant. He'd just go, ho, 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 ho.
Right. So, I mean, he's charming. Sarah Jessica Parker,
shrill.
I can do without.
Shrill. That was the word I was like, she is shrill in this movie.
And it was funny because I had walked out of my screening and you know, there was always a rep there standing there waiting for quotes. Mm. And my quote was, this movie is filled with one or two laughs.
Mm. I saw that on Twitter. That was
because
brilliant.
it really was a movie that just got several laughs. And there were a few times where I was laughing at the movie.
Mm.
And really the only two people that I felt got laughs were Hugh Grant as this just, you know, super apologetic husband who had done something wrong and he's trying to make it up to his...
He had slept with somebody else.
Cold-hearted
It was the Divine
wife.
Brown in the back of the car again.
Yeah, just I know. That Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. He's so charming
but
with that.
The other person that gets laughs is Elizabeth Moss, who you might recognize from Mad Men, who plays Sarah Jessica Parker's character's assistant.
She wasn't that funny.
She was funny. No. I thought she was funny. I thought she brings kind of an air of
You liked her because she's in Mad Men. I thought she was somewhat... I remember watching this. A lot of times when I see a movie like this, I'm like, well, the leads were okay. But the real funny part was the supporting cast. I can tell you that that's not the case in this movie. Are you drinking?
Overall, this movie...
Are you having a milkshake or something? You drink my milkshake?
The case is that overall, this movie's not funny at all.
No.
There are just little spots. But you know what, though? I've seen worse.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of Maid of Honor.
I think it totally does. But I think they're going to put that on the cover
box. But not quite as bad.
I think they'll be like, when they send the DVD out and the Blu-ray, it'll be like, it could be worse. Neil Miller.
That's I would
or
suggest
I've seen
that
worse.
That
Isn't that what you said? I've seen worse?
I've seen worse. I've seen a lot worse and a lot more. It's a completely uninspired concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not executed very well, but, you know.
It's going to work for Counter
Programming. At least it didn't have McDreamy in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it totally felt like Maid of Honor because Maid of Honor was out there to go up against Iron Man, and this one is going up against Avatar.
Right.
And
speaking of which.
I think, let me just give my two cents real quick because you rambled about Morgan's. I thought it was okay. It wasn't awful. I didn't like Sarah Jessica Parker. The fish out of water comedy isn't a problem. It's just that this was so similar to The Proposal, which was done better, where you have this Manhattanite being thrown into this rural environment. But what I hated about this movie was how stupid the characters were. It's one thing to say, "Oh, I'm used to living in New York." It's another thing to not quite get the fact that you can go to a discount shopping outlet. There's a scene where she literally is like, "Oh my gosh, a sweater for $9!"
Right?
Really?
Complete
seriously?
Culture shock.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, have you never stepped foot? Not only have you not stepped foot outside of New York, I'm pretty sure that there are like crappy little used clothing stores that you can buy sweaters for $9, you know?
Right. I mean, and it's a societal thing.
Yeah, and then like this whole thing where she's packing because she's got to go to witness protection. She's like, can I take this evening gown? And it's like, do you not understand the concept of the fact that you're going out in the middle of nowhere? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, and then she like, there's a scene where she like is wanting to call back to her assistant. So she's like using a phone. I'm like, really, you don't understand the concept of caller ID? You know, that whole thing that it's like, she is that stupid of a character. That was the thing I didn't like the most about it. But like I said, then Hugh Grant was charming. There you go. So
That Hugh Grant.
It kind of sucks.
Anyway.
It kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks as well for me.
It's not a full-on suck for you?
No, it kind of sucks.
Well, there you go.
So we'll introduce the next movie. We'll talk a little bit about it. I have a feeling this is going to spill over into the next segment.
Pretty much.
There is quite a bit to say about this James Cameron movie.
This little independent film.
Yes, it is called Avatar, and it is about star-crossed lovers who meet on board a doomed cruise ship on a course across the North Atlantic with aliens.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are not in Kansas anymore. You are on Pandora.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
This is why we're here. Because this little gray rock sells for 20 million a kilo. Their village happens to be resting on the richest deposit, and they need to relocate. Those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution.
Do you want
to? It's funny that you wrote that into the show notes.
Oh, I thought that you were just ad-libbing that.
No, it's funny that ended up being in the show notes because this has a very Titanic feel to it.
It has a little bit more of a Dances with Wolves feel to it.
Well, I mean, there's some easy comparisons I think you could make to it's Dances with Wolves or Fern Gully,
yeah,
or Smurfs.
I don't think it has anything to do with Smurfs. It's nothing to do with Smurfs.
It's about blue people.
It's about blue people.
But in the end,
that's like saying that, like, oh, well, this movie it has black people in it, so it must be Tyler Perry. You're a racist when it comes to Smurfs and aliens. That's all there is to it.
This
racist.
Is true.
I can't do
that. But when it comes down to it, seeing Avatar washes all of that away.
Okay.
Because seeing Avatar, you ultimately will realize that the simplicity of the story and the derivative nature of the story has nothing to do with the accomplishment of what James Cameron has done. Mm-hmm. He's made a fantastic technical film that will blow your mind.
Is that it? I was going to like just let you ramble for the next 2 minutes, and I was going to do my bit
segment.
Do you want to just go ahead? Because what I
didn't understand. Okay. Don't worry, I'll keep talking.
Okay, go ahead.
What I cannot understand is someone who goes and sees Avatar, which is this vast 3D landscape in this very fantastic world, and there are these very cool creatures. But mostly it's just their ability to make it all look as if it could be real. And I don't understand anyone who could walk into Avatar and then walk out of Avatar 2.5+ hours later and not be in some state of awe.
Yeah. Did you see it? Because did you see it on IMAX?
I didn't see it in IMAX. I saw it in 3D.
Okay. Because here's the thing. I went and saw the Avatar Day at the IMAX. Mm-hmm. And then when they showed it to us, the press in Ohio, they showed it in digital 3D like they did you. And I'll tell you, there's a difference. If you're going to see this movie, you need to see it in IMAX because it is so different. It is that much better in IMAX. It is, people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to spend the extra money. It's worth the extra money. If you're going to spend $9 to see this movie, or you're going to spend $12, spend $15 to see this movie. Mm-hmm. Spend the extra couple bucks, see it in IMAX, because it is so worth it in that respect. I mean, from the imagery and the special effects.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's just one of those movies that is significant in my mind.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. We'll talk more here after the break about this Avatar thing.
Absolutely.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are doing our middle segment here, and Neil, you had your chance to kind of jump in and give your thoughts on Avatar.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Okay, what, you like smoking something? You're like, yeah,
I was stretching.
Awesome.
Sorry. Well, you know, I want to hear your opinion, then we'll final word Avatar here. In a minute.
Here's the thing. I did see it, like I mentioned in the last segment. I saw it at Avatar Day, and I was sold on that, and I went and saw the movie. And it's one of those movies that I say, if you just look at the general buzz, the buzz is absolutely right. It's kind of got a simplistic story. It's not a great story. You know, it's not like really kind of cool and innovative like the Terminator movies where you're like, oh, that's really kind of thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. And it is very much that it's not, I wouldn't even say it's thinly veiled. It's a blatant, hey, these are Native Americans. You know, mm-hmm. and this is the culture, and this is the white Europeans trying to come over and cause that. So that's in there. And there's also sort of like Iraqi oil things, like, oh, well, they've got a resource underneath where they live that we need. So, I mean, they're mm-hmm. it's not subtle at all. Right. But here's the thing with James Cameron. He is very, very good at just taking a crappy story and propelling it along. And the characters aren't that great either. I mean, you don't have a Sarah Connor from the first two Terminators.
Right.
You know, you don't have a Ripley from Aliens, even though Sigourney Weaver's in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Worthington's okay, but he's not great.
Than he was in Terminator.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so it's like when it comes to story and character and plot, it's not bad, but it's nothing to write home about. So just go in knowing that and just accept it from the frame one. You know, just don't grumble about it. Go in and accept that and say, okay, I'm going to watch a really awesome movie. And then when you watch the movie, it is crap your pants awesome. And I've said that. I am campaigning to get Fox to put that on the Blu-ray cover. Crap your pants awesome, Kevin Carr.
I don't think they'll do it. However,
I hope they do. But
it
no,
does. It's definitely unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's the reason to see it. And if you're going to see it in IMAX. It looks brilliant, and it's amazing. And, you know, maybe if you don't know anything about how films are made, you may not be as impressed. But if you know anything about how effects are done, it's literally like watching a David Copperfield show and going, how the hell did they do that?
Yeah.
Because the most unrealistic-looking things are, like, the stuff that they've actually shot. You know, like the mm-hmm. the people in there that are composited in there, they're the ones who look less real than their surroundings, which is all
right.
computer generated,
which is completely new.
Yeah. And it's just like, cause even big name movies we've seen recently, you see some really bad compositing and some crappy green mm-hmm. screen work. And
Twilight.
When you see stuff where like, did you hear about the Morgans? There's a scene where they're in a car and you could totally tell that they're against a green screen. And I'm like, It's one shot and it's one light that you got to deal with, and they can't even get that right. And then you watch Avatar and it will blow your mind. I would mm-hmm. love to go in the past. Somebody said this, I forget where I heard this, but I think somebody said this on Twitter, to go in the past and pluck somebody out of like the 1950s and show them this movie and they would just shit themselves.
Right. They would not know what it was. Yeah. They would think that we were actually on an alien planet.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, the only thing working against Avatar in my mind mm-hmm. is that it's very difficult to explain to people.
Yeah.
People don't seem to understand it. They know that it's from James Cameron. He's the Titanic guy, whatever. Yeah. So I guess what I would say to all of our listeners is just take a chance.
Go see it. It's worth it. I think it's going to do phenomenally well. And here's the other thing, and this is a little tease for when we do our best of. It's on my top 10 list of the year. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because it's the greatest movie, but this and Paranormal Activity are the two movies that needed to be experienced in the theater. And that's mm-hmm. a great thing, because over the last couple of years, especially with the innovation of Blu-ray players and high-def televisions and 5.1 surround sound in your own home, there's a mm-hmm. lot of movies you don't even need to go to the theater to see. And arguably, you know, it's more comfortable to watch it at home. This is not one of those movies. This brings back, as Paranormal Activity did, the event movie, the coming, making it worth going out of your house, going to the theater, spending big bucks, making a night of it. And mm-hmm. it's a 2.5-hour movie. It doesn't slow down. And I say, you know, this is It was funny. There's a guy I know in England who was complaining about it. It's kind of because I'm not sold on it. I don't know if I want to see it. And I wrote to him. I said, just think about it this way. This is the fanboy's last chance to have something unseat New Moon. And he's like, oh, well, then that's a good idea.
Well, I guess if you want to simplify it. Anyway, so let's grade it. I say Avatar totally rocks. It is definitely to me, it is a look at what is possible. It's not like a revolutionary movie that, like, I guarantee will change film or whatever. Yeah. It's just showing us what is possible, something that we did not previously think could be done on film.
I think it'll change film in the sense that, like, the Star Wars prequels changed in terms of bringing on digital video into film. You know, people think, oh, well, it'll be like crappy. And it's like, no, George Lucas does something really cool with it. Regardless of what you think about the story of those.
Right.
You know, and that actually leads us into the Fat Guy 5. But let's talk about box office this week.
Right. The question is, will Avatar make $1 billion?
I think that, did you hear about the Morgan is going to win with $150 million?
Well, and here's the question with Avatar. Well, let's go over last week's. I'll run through last week's really quick first.
Yes.
Because we had the Princess Bride finishing number one.
The Princess and the Frog.
Whatever. Right up. Finishing at $24 million. Blindside in second. The only new movie that made it into the top 10 was Invictus with $8.6 million.
Well, Princess and the Frog was a new movie because it went from eight theaters
but
to
it was,
like
it was 3, expanding. 000. So
that's in all senses of the word, it was a new movie,
right? So it won the weekend. So now, really, let's move on to this weekend where we have the Morgans, we have Up in the Air Going Wide, which is getting a lot of Oscar buzz, and then we have Avatar.
Yeah,
and I personally would put Avatar in the $80 million range.
You
for the
what?
Weekend. I think
for
that
the weekend?
Is for the weekend.
You know what? I really think it has a shot of cracking $100 million. And the reason for it is because of the IMAX. First of all the shows are going to be more expensive because even digital 3D is a couple bucks more expensive.
That's true. I didn't
even
think of that.
The IMAX is even more expensive. I mean, even in Ohio, which is a relatively cheap place to see movies. I don't know what they're going, but I think it's like $15 at least to go see the 3D IMAX.
Right.
So, I mean, it's already like double the, it's going to be twice the ticket price anyway. So that's why I think it's going to crack. I'd love to see it break the New Moon thing, but I don't know if it will, simply because I think there's enough people that are going to wait until next week because everyone's off of school next week. People are going to be taking days off of work that next week. And so I don't know if it's going to do that $150 million. I'd love to see it do that, but
right.
I think it's going to be closer to Titanic, where it's going to do really well, but it's going to stay really well because we haven't.
I'm with you on that. I think it's going to have good staying power. Like it will last a long time in theaters.
And the other thing is, there hasn't been an event movie since New Moon, and even then, that plays to a totally different audience. Because I mean, last week you had Princess of the Frog, which was a kids movie. That was the biggest one. And then the week before that you had like Armored and Transylvania, so there was nothing. So yeah, I think it's going to do incredible. It will totally I don't think it's going to beat Titanic. I don't know if it'll crack $400 million domestically, but it's going to do well.
Well, I think the problem is that, like I said, it's just hard for people to understand what it is. It's an alien movie kind of thing. You know, it's not a simple, like, I think.
Well, it is sort of.
We'll talk about this.
Dances and Wolves with space, in space.
Well, that's not really a flattering way to describe it. But I think, and we'll talk about this more next week when we talk about Sherlock Holmes. I personally think Sherlock Holmes, after a month, will have made more money than Avatar did in its first month. Because it's a really easy movie to describe to somebody. You know, it's an easy movie to get my grandparents to go see because it's a Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr. And it's, you know, that's pretty simple.
Avatar is a little bit, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Avatar is a little bit more complicated. So anyway, time to move on. Since we've now stated, I believe, that Avatar could very well change the way films are made and change.
Yes.
It kind of changes I personally think it just changes perspective on what is possible.
More so, like I said, I think from the filmmakers,
right,
the film goers.
But so now we're going to talk about five films that actually did change the industry. Did yes. change the way films are made.
Number one, Jury Duty with Pauly Shore.
Oh, boy. Anyway, number one really is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, it's just Star Wars, and I'm going to actually say both sets of films, because in the 70s, prior to Star Wars, the only kind of sci-fi movie that took itself seriously was like was 2001, which was about 8 years before mm-hmm. that. But Star Wars totally redefined special effects, sound design, so much to it, and redefined sci-fi movies, and they were able to do the dogfight battles and mm-hmm. and it was a dynamic type of way to do a movie, and it completely redefined the movies. Not just redefined the movies, but it redefined merchandising. It mm-hmm. redefined not just merchandising, it also redefined how stars negotiate their contract, because the original people, the cast, didn't get royalties for their images to be used in comic books and games and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. They did for the subsequent films. They renegotiated. But
right.
it changed the landscape of movies. And also, and I had mentioned this earlier, the prequels, say what you want to about them story-wise, I'll defend them, but I'm just talking about technology-wise. It is because of the Star Wars prequels that pushed high-definition video as an actual usable format mm-hmm. In feature films. And it really... It basically redefined doing that and really started to bring in the obsolescence of film.
Fair enough. Well, yeah. The eventual obsolescence of film.
Yeah, eventually.
Speaking of a movie that was made on film, Citizen Kane, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people forget why Citizen Kane is so famous, other than the sled and Orson Welles' performance. It really is the fact that for the first time, they... used a camera that moved. Mm. You know, this is the first time that somebody put a camera on a dolly and slid it across the room while something was happening. So
you can blame Michael Bay on Citizen Kane.
I mean, ultimately, yeah. It was the first time anybody had said, "Well, wait, we can move the camera while we're shooting the scene," and now it's very commonplace.
So they said, "Tarnation." We that can too. Move this there camera.
Number three I have as well is Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Because when we talk about visual effects, which is something that Avatar is kind of taking to the next level, Jurassic Park was the first movie to essentially put something completely fake at this point, a dinosaur, mm-hmm. they don't exist anymore, into the real world.
In your world, they don't.
Yeah, I don't have like something that's been extinct. And make it feel like it's part of our world. And that's such a fantastic notion. And I remember that first shot where they're going to Jurassic Park and you see the bronchiosaur and they're walking and he says, "Welcome to Jurassic Park," the titular line, is one of the most influential moments of in the history of computer generated, movie making.
Well, and it's the reality,
unbelievable.
The reality was, is Spielberg was originally going to use stop motion.
Yeah.
And he was actually working with like Stan Winston on this. And yeah. then Dennis Muren showed up and he's like, "Hey, let me show you this." And he did this test of a raptor walking. Like it was, I think, just a skeleton. And then Spielberg was like, "Okay, we're using that." Mm-hmm. And he brought in like Phil Tippett and Stan Winston to help design, and they did use puppetry in it, but yeah, it right. was the first time that you ever actually you had that. It was a groundbreaking. I remember when it came out; it was fantastic.
Right,
it's still a good movie.
So, and personally for me, that was like one of the first like really awesome major movies that I saw on the big screen.
Yeah.
So to me, Jurassic Park was the first time that I believed
a man could fly.
Essentially, I believed that movies could make something completely fantastical yeah. look real.
Yes.
So, all right, number next. Four. Number four is mine.
Okay,
well.
Go.
Is The Matrix.
Yes.
Which is, I think, anyone who has grown up in this generation mm-hmm. knows that The Matrix kind of changed the way we do slow motion. And the way we look at action films and what is possible in filming.
Well, and it was the first one that utilizes the virtual. It's not the first one to use the virtual camera,
right?
Because they did that in even like was it Buffalo 66, which is the mm-hmm. Vincent Gallo movie, and they used it in and they used it in commercials, and they used it in Lost in Space and Wing mm-hmm. Commander.
Well, but, to me, it's similar to the way Citizen Kane, it was the first time somebody picked up the camera and moved it yeah. during a scene. The Matrix picked up the camera and, like, put it in space.
Yeah, it redefined it, and it was the first really biggest time they used the virtual camera, whereas, like, Terminator 2 was the first time they really used morphing technology.
Right.
Well, actually, The Abyss was.
But, oh, that James Cameron.
That James Cameron.
Seems to be a theme going on here.
Did I just
turn
into Boris Karloff there for a second?
Yeah. All right. Hit us with the last one, and then
the last one. Yes. Forrest
Gump. Your awesome honorable mention.
Forrest Gump was the first one that really that utilized digital technology in such a way that you could incorporate sort of like things you couldn't do in the past. It was the fact that they were able to erase Lieutenant Dan's legs to make him look like a quadriplegic mm-hmm. or a paraplegic or an amputee, actually.
Right.
And the fact that they were able to put in like President Kennedy and President Johnson. And didn't Elvis show up in there, too? I mean, the
Elvis
fact that
Elvis was in there. Well, it was an actor, though, playing Elvis at that point.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so they did do it was very innovative on making using digital effects to do stuff that's actually you wouldn't mm-hmm. recognize as visual effects. You see right. a dinosaur, you're like, well, that's a special effect.
Well, to put Forrest Gump into archive footage of students entering the college in Alabama. Yeah.
It's a big, you know, it's a big, simple. I remember when it came out, it was a big deal.
Won some funny awards. Funny story. Yes. Forrest Gump, directed by Robert Zemeckis, whose hard work in the motion capture CG animation world was completely made look like it was
yeah.
child's play by Avatar.
Yes, exactly.
So, nice little Forrest Gump to Avatar connection there.
There we go. And now the honorable mention is because
yeah,
these are the
funny.
Five game changers they gave us. They had us see something we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested Swordfish because mm-hmm. you got to see Halle Berry's boobs.
And on that note, it's time to go to a break. When we come back, one more segment of pain and agony for me and glory for
crap
the rest
of you. Crap
your pants,
awesome.
And we're wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's
another,
right.
another week in the bag, I guess.
Booyah!
You could say. So we've enlightened you as to what in the heck Avatar is. And also, yeah, kind of recommended Up in the Air.
I guess we have.
I think so. Anyway, it is time, as always, for the world-famous DVD Roundup. We'll start with my picks of the week. I have two this week.
Yes.
Two big ones. Two, like, must-haves. If you yeah. have a Blu-ray player and you are a smart person, mm-hmm. you will buy both of these.
Yes.
One
well,
is
one's
the Mel
a little
Brooks.
Expensive.
One's the Mel Brooks collection, which is the expensive one.
But if it's you, awesome. I mean,
it's fantastic. Oh, it has nine awesome. Of Mel Brooks' films. It does not have all of them. It's missing The Producers and Dracula Dead and Loving It. Which would be two.
And
the other
Life
two
Stinks,
that I would throw in there.
Life Stinks, well, is not on there. And
but it has Spaceballs.
Oh, it has the
Blazing
big ones.
Saddles.
It has the 12 Chairs, which actually not a whole
the
lot of people
chairs.
Have
seen. It has
seen.
High Anxiety, which is, if you want to have a great double feature,
ooh.
Watch Hitchcock's Vertigo and then watch High Anxiety.
You got to watch North by Northwest, because North by Northwest just came out on Blu-ray not too long ago.
That too.
And I'm watching that, and I'm like, oh, he totally stole from High Anxiety in this movie. Paging Dr. Thorndike.
So that, and then Inglourious Basterds on Blu-ray.
Yes.
You buying Inglourious Basterds. That's the cheap one of my recommendations. So if you only buy one of two, Inglourious Basterds is probably...
You know what's cool about Inglourious Basterds on Blu-ray is not only does it have the original Inglourious Basterds, which is not mm-hmm. it's not a remake. It's sort of like a reimagining. It's not even a
It's kind of an homage.
Yeah, it's sort of like it takes the
a
tone.
A homage.
Yeah, a homage. Like omelette du fromage. Mm-hmm. It also has... If you've seen Inglourious Basterds, there's a Nazi propaganda movie that's part of the story, mm-hmm. and they
yeah,
have the entire
part.
They have the whole propaganda. It's only like 10 minutes long, but it's mm-hmm. it's the entire totally ridiculous Nazi propaganda movie, which is actually kind of funny to watch. Have you
seen? And oddly enough, is just like a real Nazi propaganda movie. Yeah. Like that's kind of how they were.
Yeah, it is good. Oh, those are some good picks. Which is, if you haven't gotten your Christmas shopping done, those are ones too. Now, for me, I want to got to give some love to The Hangover.
Definitely.
Which is a brilliant movie, and you know, I thought it was funnier the second time I watched it. It was, and Zach Galifianakis cracks me up in this movie. He cracks me up.
He's hilarious in the commentary track.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's
a point in the commentary track where they're like 5 minutes in, and Zach Galifianakis had not said anything, and he just leans forward and he goes, "Are you guys gonna talk through the whole movie?"
I heard that. That was very funny.
Hysterical.
And what's brilliant about the movie is it's just. It's so wrong, and it's so honest in terms of a comedy, because it's not trying to be a vehicle for anybody, and that's what makes it work, is because it just says, hey, we're going to be funny. And if you go to Film School Rejects, there's a drinking game for that, and which is totally...
For show.
Yeah, I mean, it's not inappropriate, like our My Sister's Keeper drinking game, which was requested by the studio.
We can only go so far.
Yes, but The Hangover has a drinking game. Now, another one, which is for the kids, since The Hangover, there's two picks for the kids. One is G-Force. I loved this movie. I thought it was fun.
Also starring Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis and Sam Rockwell from Moon is in this, and Nicolas Cage from a lot of things, and Penelope Cruz. It's got some great names in it. Tracy Morgan, not such a great name. But it's totally a kid's movie. I mean, if you're not a kid or you're not a parent, don't bother with this movie, but go get it. It's fun if you got kids, and my kids loved it. It's not in 3D, but that's okay. It's still kind of fun. And then one more Disney movie I got to give a little bit of some props to is The Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie. It's a TV show. It has its feature film version. It was aired on Disney Channel, I think, in September. But it's the extended version, which, you know, is... It's not like in anything crazy in it because it's a Disney movie.
Right.
But it also comes packaged with a little like mood charm.
A mood charm.
Well, you know, like
I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah, where it's like it'll change color. It's actually kind of cool. So, you know, I recommend that one as well as agreeing with your picks of Inglourious Basterds and the Mel Brooks Collection.
Nice. All right, what's our stinker of the week?
I'm going to say Taking Woodstock. Not that it's a terrible movie.
It's just not a very good movie.
Yeah, I mean, with all the people, it's one of those things that it's like if Uwe Boll comes out and makes a crappy movie, it's like, oh, it stars Tara, like Alone in the Dark, stars Tara Reid in Uwe Boll as a scientist in an Uwe Boll movie. You're like, well, that has no shot at being good. But when you take like Ang Lee and you put in, you know, people like Eugene Levy and Liev Schreiber. Schreiber and
you expect it to be kind of good.
Yeah, you expect it to be good, and I'm just like,
and when it's not,
it was just blah.
It's disappointing.
But you know what? I will give it props when they're in the scene in the movie. It's about the story about Woodstock, kind of the festival happening. But there's a scene where there's a dance, a theater troupe led by Dan Fogler, and there's a scene where they all get naked. Thank you, Ang Lee, for not having Dan Fogler get naked.
I agree.
Yes.
All right, time to wrap up the reviews for the week. First, we had Up in the Air, which I said totally rocks.
I said it rocks.
Did you hear about the Morgans, which I think we are pretty unanimous about it kind of sucking.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a kind of suck, yeah.
And then Avatar.
Totally rocks.
Totally rocks.
It's my top 10 list.
It's one of the best movies of the year.
And it was nominated for Golden Globes, too, which is actually kind of shocking. I wasn't expecting that.
It's going to... You watch. Next week... We might also topple Avatar for the best movie of the year when we review Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, The Squeakquel.
The Squeakquel.
We'll also talk about Sherlock Holmes and It's Complicated. In between now and then, there are ways for you to get a hold of us, most of which can be found over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just review us on iTunes. Give me a Christmas present by reviewing us on iTunes.
Leave a voicemail. Say Merry Christmas. This is the time to talk to the fat guys.
Just say anything. In the meantime, we're going to shut up now and let you go off into the wilderness.